KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, it's mostly cloudy and 62 degrees. We'll look for scattered showers and thunderstorms this morning. Partly cloudy this afternoon with a high around 79. Good morning, I'm Rick Hanson with KJAN News. Radar does show a line of showers and thunderstorms that have formed from around the Otobolt area down through Schleswig to the west of Denison, also just to the west of Dunlap, and in the Harrison County area that are moving to the east with a slight drift toward the southeast. In the news, officials of the Creston Police Department report three recent arrests. Sunday evening, 35-year-old Joshua Weeks of Lorimore was arrested at the Union County Law Enforcement Center on Union County warrants for violation of probation on an original charge of OWI third or subsequent offense and revocation of pretrial release bond status. Weeks was being held in the Union County Jail awaiting a bond hearing on the first warrant and on a $10,000 cash-only bond for the second warrant. Last Friday, 27-year-old Keegan Kersher of Lorimore was arrested at the Union County Law Enforcement Center on a Union County warrant for failure to appear on a driving while barred charge. He was later released on $300 bond. 39-year-old Corey Sanford of Osceola was arrested in Creston Friday for driving while suspended. He was also released later on a $300 bond. And on Saturday, a Creston man reported to police that sometime between 1 a.m. and 6 a.m. that day, someone took a full-size flag and a small flagpole from the front porch of his residence in the 1,000 block of North Sycamore. The items were valued at $40 altogether. Members of the Atlantic City Council will gather at 5:30 p.m. Wednesday for a regular session at City Hall. Among the action items on their agenda is the first reading of an amended ordinance with regard to sanitary sewer system hookup requirements. The current ordinance states the owner of an occupied structure must have that structure connected to a public sewer line. If the sewer line is within 500 feet of a property line and is of such design as to receive and convey sewage through gravity flow, the amended ordinance would remove the subsection on gravity flow being an exemption to the connection of the sanitary sewer. It also stipulates that if the structure is connected to a septic system, is within 500 feet of the sanitary sewer, and the septic system fails, the property owner will be required to connect to the sanitary sewer system. Persons who have been billed for sanitary sewer but were on septic systems should be rebated those charges insofar as AMU's ability to track records. According to the latest information, only two properties are eligible for the rebate, which would total $9,038 combined. The council will act on a separate order to rebate the sanitary sewer charges to those particular property owners during Wednesday's meeting. In other business, the Atlantic City Council will act on a resolution requesting reimbursement from the Iowa COVID-19 Government Relief Fund in the amount of $155,100 for eligible direct expenses the city incurred during the COVID-19 emergency, including up to 25% of payroll costs for public health and public safety employees for services dedicated to mitigating or responding to the public health emergency. The first step in requesting reimbursement must be the passage of a resolution formally requesting the funds. The council will also act on a resolution adopting a 28E cost-sharing agreement between the city, AMU, and Nishna Valley YMCA for the continued development and use of a community recreation center. The changes in the agreement will reflect the fact construction of the YMCA building was completed, along with the funding related to the retirement of the city's debt financed to construction of the building. City Administrator John Lund said overall there are no changes to this agreement that will alter the day-to-day relationship between the three entities. Among other business, the Atlantic City Council Wednesday will recognize Sandy Walter for her 20 years of service to the Atlantic Wastewater Treatment Plant. Sandy has worked to ensure the city is in compliance with state and federal regulations while managing the lab and testing of effluent. Elsewhere in the news, the pursuit of a motorcycle Saturday afternoon in Dallas County ended with the deaths of two people from Waukee. State Patrol says the crash happened near Interstate 80 east of Earlham. The motorcycle operator, 36-year-old Thomas F. Kennedy, and his 36-year-old passenger, Rachel Glissman, again both of Waukee, died at the scene after trying to outrun a Dallas County Sheriff's deputy. Authorities say the deputy had terminated the chase just before the crash happened at around 5:15 p.m. on 360th Street or County Road F-90, just south of 360th Place. Reports that the motorcyclists apparently continued to operate at a high rate of speed following the pursuit and lost control of the vehicle on a curve at 360th Street. The cycle left the roadway and went into the ditch where it came to rest. Neither of the motorcycle occupants was wearing a helmet. One of the largest school districts in Iowa is starting the school year with online instruction only. KCRG reports the Iowa City School Board voted Saturday to conduct all classes virtually for the first 2 weeks. Classes in the 12,000-student district began on September the 8th. The move comes after the state granted the district a waiver earlier in the week, allowing for the virtual instruction. The 14-day average positivity rate in Johnson County, where the district is located, was 13.9% last Wednesday, but had risen to 21.1% by Saturday. The threshold Governor Reynolds has established for schools to seek online learning instead of required classroom lessons is 15%. An Iowa State University study shows how plants' genetic factors are impacting crop stress as it relates to climate change. Stephen Howell, a distinguished professor of genetics development and cell biology at ISU, says they're making critical advances.
There are two very different systems within plants that recognize heat stress and help to protect plants from heat stress. And they've been thought to work very independently. And what we've been able to show is that the systems actually are coordinated and that they work together.
He notes it's completely coincidental. The study is being released at a time when Iowa is seeing crops impacted by drought and by the derecho.
All these issues about climate change have had an influence on the kind of work that we're doing. So we're very concerned about how well our crops in Iowa are able to tolerate heat stress. And so this has motivated quite a bit of our studies.
Howell says the study is being done through the use of state-of-the-art facility called the Envirotron at the ISU Ag Engineering Agronomy Research Farm.
We can simulate different climate conditions and ask them how plants perform under those conditions. And we have this robot, fantastic robot, that's able to travel from one incubator chamber to another to be able to monitor plants and how they're doing.
The complete study is appearing in the academic journal, The Plant Cell. Two Iowa judges have now ruled in favor of the Republican Party and President Trump's campaign and nullified about 55,000 absentee ballot request forms from voters in Woodbury and Linn counties. A hearing over the similar lawsuit against Johnson County's auditor for sending ballot request forms that included voter ID number is scheduled for September the 8th. Republicans argue the three county auditors did not follow a state order that only blank absentee ballot request forms be mailed out. Alan Ostergren, a former Muscatine County attorney, represented the Republican Party in both of last week's court hearings.
The Secretary of State's directive specifically ordered auditors to, if they were going to send out their own forms, that they needed to be blank because of the need to have it uniform across the state.
Attorney Jeff Wright, representing Woodbury County's auditor, argued the Secretary of State did not have the authority to issue his order.
This is a public health emergency, a public health disaster. And the legislature did not give Mr. Pate and the Secretary of State's office emergency powers for a public health disaster.
In June, the Republican-led legislature voted to require Pate to seek legislative council approval for any changes in the state election procedures. In July, the legislative council gave Pate permission to send blank absentee ballot request forms to every active voter. Your Secretary of State Paul Pate speaking on Iowa PBS this weekend.
They wanted those forms sent out with the information on those, particularly personal information that is confidential.
That mailing from the state is set to go out on Labor Day weekend. The auditors in Woodbury and Linn counties and in Johnson County, if a similar decision is made in that case, face a tight deadline to notify voters that their absentee ballot request has been invalidated by a judge. Pate says his office will coordinate with the two and perhaps three affected counties.
Make sure that it's being communicated to those folks who've already sent in their request on the wrong form, based on what the courts are saying, so they're successful in being able to vote.
Absentee ballot mailings from other county auditors have not been challenged. Polk County Auditor Jamie Fitzgerald oversees voting in Iowa's largest county. His mailing did not include voter ID numbers.
We've had a lot of movement in our county, people moving from one apartment to another. So the blank form allowed us to put our current resident because there was no information on it other than a blank form.
Iowans may request absentee ballots now. County election officials can't send the ballots out, though, until October the 5th. That is a check of the news on KJAN. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.